Good morning, everybody. First of all, before I get started, see, you know, you heard that when the Archbishop, the Patriarch was preaching, he wound up, you know, like up here by the time he was done. And you guys are not going to be able to see me, so I'm going to have to stay back here some so that everybody can see. And, first of all, actually what I wanted to do is thank Father Bill for the kind words that you sent out yesterday for the anniversary of my ordination. So,
hallelujah.
Thank you. And I can easily say, and I hope I speak for my family, that we couldn't do it without you and without God, obviously. But none of it would be possible without this incredible family that we have here. So thank you all. All right, so we're going to start off the year, this new year, with a pop quiz. Oh, no. And you're like, oh, gosh. I didn't study, and that's the whole point of a pop quiz. You can't study for it, you know. You just have to be ready. So first question, what season are we in?
Advent.
Right, see, you know, you should have gotten that.
And
maybe it's going to be that these are fairly easy. You can start to get an idea. Next question is, what is my favorite color?
The sermon.
Blue. No, wrong. Blue. Blue is my favorite color, so this is my favorite season. I wish it would go on for months and months, you know, because I just love blue.
I thought the answer that everything in church was always Jesus.
Right.
My favorite color is Jesus.
Uh-oh. You mean it's not? Huh. Okay. Now, here's another pop quiz question. I didn't catch that. But here's another pop quiz question. Is Advent the same as Christmas?
No,
right, you're right. This is not Christmas season here that we're in yet, okay? This is Advent. That's why we're blue and not green or red, or green and red wearing little jolly hats with, you know, things on them, you know, little bells, cockle bells. And here's another question. Is the Lord going to return? Is the Lord Jesus going to return?
Yes.
Yes, he is going to return. And this might be important since we decided that the Lord is going to come again. Is the Lord coming soon?
Yes.
Okay.
Soon is a very vague term.
All right.
He's coming.
So maybe I should ask, when is the Lord coming?
No.
I don't know. Nobody knows. There you go. That's a good answer. That's good. See, he's been reading. That's good. Here's another question for you, okay? Another pop quiz question. Is he coming sooner than last Advent when I preached on this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Arguably, yes.
Right. I mean, it's logical. It makes some sense. Is he coming sooner than he was yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's right, because, I mean, Paul, you heard it from Paul. He says our salvation is nearer now than it was yesterday. So every day that we live on this earth, we're getting closer to the day where Jesus returns for what we call the second coming, you know. And so Advent is a time when we start to think about the second coming. And it's a good thing to think about, okay? You know, I think it's good. Yeah, I want to put it to you this way. It's kind of like the clock continues to tick down on the world, on our lives, basically, on the day when he returns, okay? I mean, that's what you heard in the epistle. And though we don't know when he is going to come, we don't know when he is going to come. Huh. Okay, does that make sense? You understand? No, you know, I see what I mean, because we don't know when he's going to come. So it's like, well, we'll just kind of go on with our lives and do our thing, right? But the problem is we don't know when he's going to come, including tomorrow, you see. And so the idea is that we get into this feeling of being, oh, well, you know, he's going to come someday. But you know what? It could be tomorrow. And so we better be ready. And that's because, what I asked you earlier, nobody knows when he's coming again. And it could be tomorrow, it could be later. It could be 500 years from now. We just don't know. This is what the original, those Christians who are mentioned in the book, those disciples, they, you know, probably didn't think it was going to be 2,000 years. And yet, here we are. It may be beyond our lifetime, but it may be tomorrow. And that's the problem that we have with this issue. You see, it's something like a cosmic conveyor belt that we are on, you know, and we're all kind of rolling up this conveyor belt, you know, and at some point it drops off at the end, okay? It will drop off, so you're in this conveyor belt, all of a sudden, you're going down, you know, and that's kind of what happens. And it falls off into this big bin called the judgment. Ooh, the judgment, what we call judgment day, okay? And that's that time, either at the end of our lives or perhaps what occurs at the end of history as we know it. We're not sure whether we are aware of that time or not. I don't know. Some people think that we do or we are aware. But in any way, at some point, we come off the end of the conveyor belt to that thing called the judgment. And this is what is important about Jesus coming again, okay? Because that's what's going to happen then. And so we've got to think about this. And Advent is a time to think about this. And that's why we're here. Now, the patriarch had an interesting idea about it. If you heard it or if you've heard this before, don't speak up or say anything. Don't want to spoil it, okay? But he thought of this thing called the judgment or judgment day as being something like the movie of your life, okay? The movie of your life. You go into this theater, and it's a nice theater, and they have recliner luxury cushion seats, you know, and you go back, and it's pretty good. And it looks like any other kind of movie theater that you go into. It's great, you know. And this movie is going to show, because the trailer starts to flash across the screen, your life. Your life in its entirety. Everything that you ever did or said. And there are subtitles on this movie as well. And the subtitles are every thought that you ever had as you were going through your life. And this is going across the screen that that's what's going to happen. And you're like, you start to look around, you know, and you realize you're not alone in this theater. And you start to recognize somebody else in the theater, and you see that your family's there, and you see that your friends are there. You see that your people in church that you've known, in fact, every church that you've ever been in your life are there. And you look around and you see, oh, my coworkers are here, my old bosses and the people that I supervised, all of these people are here. And then you look around and there are people that you don't really know or recognize, and you're like, who is that, you know? And one of them could be like a checkout person at Walmart that you came in contact with during your life, or the guy who hit your car 10 years ago. Or it could be, you know, I don't even know who these people are, but they are people who either were impacted by or you impacted their lives. And they're all going to watch the movie of your life. And you're sitting there and you know, this is starting to dawn on you, you know, and you come up with, I guess, you know, three things flash through your mind at this point, I can imagine. The first thing is, this can't be real. This is not happening. You ever heard that before? This is not happening. It can't possibly be everything that I did, ever. Because some of those things were secret, you know. I didn't tell anybody about them. But it's not going to be Arnold up there on the screen at the Judgment Day as the Terminator. Trailer explains that this was produced by that same renowned artist that brought you The World and that bestseller, The Holy Bible. He knows everything. And so you realize this is going to be very real. And in fact, it's in ultra high definition. Second thing you might think of is, how do I get out of here? I want to get out. And the exits are clearly marked, you know, around the theater. They're there. But you realize that there are these hulking figures with wings standing before them. And you're like, uh-oh. There's one door that isn't marked, but it's the fire exit. And you may not want to use that one. So no way out. No way out of the theater. The third thing that you might come up with is, how do I get my hands on that film? You know, I cannot have this shown. I wonder if I can get up into the booth, you know, climbing up on the little window, which is obviously too small for you to get through. You know, there's no way you can do that. And as you're starting to think about, how can I do that, and is it actually 35-millimeter film, 70-millimeter film, or could it be digital? Oh, no, what will I do? The commercials begin, you know, and it says, please remember to silence your cell phones, you know, like anybody has a cell phone in the judgment. And then, you know, maybe a commercial or two comes up, Sandals Resort, Sodom and Gomorrah, on the coast, you know, and remember to pick up your fireballs, they're available at the candy counter, you know, all these things kind of go on and you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? That's a good question. What are you going to do, you know? I mean, if this is what judgment is like, because there are the key things that you're thinking of right now that it is like, okay? What are we going to do? And what should we do about this? What should we do about this now, before we get there, you see? Might be a nice thing to do. And Jesus gives us some clues about what we should do. In fact, he did in the gospel today. He said in verse 44, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. He was very explicit about this, and he wanted to make sure that his disciples understood that. Okay? And so, what do we glean from that? Well, we're supposed to be ready. Okay? We're supposed to be ready for him, whether it's, you know, 500 years from now or tomorrow, okay? Even today during the Eucharist. But how do we be ready? How are we going to get that to that place so that we are prepared for when Jesus comes? Well, there's one that's really kind of simple in me telling you this, but it's a little more difficult in practice, and that is stop doing things that you know are wrong. Stop it, right? Paul said today in the scripture that you heard, let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day of judgment, not in reveling, not in drunkenness or debauchery or licentiousness, quarreling or jealousy, as in the day of his coming. We need to stop sinning. I know, easy to say, harder to do. The second thing, and it relates to that problem that it's hard to do, is, so first thing is we need to stop sinning, right? The second thing is we need to examine ourselves for sin, okay? And I'm not saying you get out a stethoscope and listen to your heart and your lungs and your stomach and all that sort of thing. That's what I do during the day. But I'm talking about examine yourself, your conscience, your actions over the last period of time since you've done this, and see if you did anything wrong. See if you did anything wrong that maybe you weren't so aware of, because it can kind of just slip out a little bit. And you're like, yeah, I remember I did do that, right? Because we kind of get caught up in the world and in ourselves. And so, you know, you see, it's not that we often go around believing or intentionally doing things that are wrong. Okay, I'm going to go out here and you know what? It's not so much that. But a lot of times, at least for us Christians who are supposed to know better, what we're doing is sometimes just having a little slip here or there. Or saying, no, I shouldn't have thought that to that person, or I shouldn't have, you know, said that out loud, you know, those kind of things. Am I speaking out loud? You know, one of those kind of things. And then in some cases, we're actually, we'll justify ourselves to say that, well, what I did was right, you know, because he said such and such. But that's not necessarily true. It's always been kind of a, this is an example for you, by the way, just in case I'm losing it. It's always been kind of an interesting phenomenon to me of other churches, or particularly other religions, all right? because, you know, we know what we believe. We say it in the Nicene Creed. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Son came, that he lived among us, that he died. And who was it? Pontius Pilate? Yeah, okay. He always gets in there too. And that he rose again, that he ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Those are the things that we believe, right? And yet, in other religions, they don't believe these things. Now, in, you know, say, Islam, yes, they have their specific and very defined beliefs. The Jews have their very specific and defined beliefs regarding this, and I can go on and on. Now, think about, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who you mentioned this morning, and the Mormons, who are Christian-like, but yet don't believe all of those things that we mentioned. And they aren't going around knowing that they're wrong. You see? You're not going to follow a religion that you know is wrong. You're just not going to do it. So if you come up to somebody like that, of course they're going to believe that they're right. And this is that strange phenomenon that I've kind of contemplated over the years, because you're dealing with other people who know they're right, just as we know we're right. Interesting. Interesting. And this is the nature of the sins that I'm talking about. We pretty much sure we're right in these things, and yet we need to examine ourselves, our consciences, our thought processes, our actions over the last period of time to see if maybe we weren't right. That's the thing that I'm talking about there. So it's important to do a self-examination, as the church calls it, to see if you did something that wasn't completely obvious, okay? You need to hold yourself up to the yardstick that is the Scripture and the Holy Spirit and see if there was something you were wrong about. Because if you are, then, you know, you need to do number three, which is confess your sins. First thing was stop sinning. Okay, those things that you know you were doing wrong. Number two, examine yourself so that you have lifted up any other sins that you may have done that you weren't aware of. Number three is confess those sins. Just get them out. Get them away. You can do this to God, yourself, individually, in your prayer time, in your daily thing, in the daily office that the church offers. We do the confession of sin every day. And you can spend as long as you want there if you need to. Okay? It's a good thing to do. You can do them in church when we come here and we confess our sins. Oftentimes during Advent, or what we call the penitential seasons, like Advent and Lent, we might spend a little longer there in silence. And that's okay. You can take that time to look back on those things and say, yes, God, I confess those to you. I did them. And I am truly sorry, and I humbly confess. You can do it with a priest. Father Bill, Father David, myself. We'd be happy to hear your confession. And oftentimes we've said it's for those things that are recurrent and may be hard for you to stop doing. In that number one, you see. So, number three is you confess your sins. This is probably the simplest one of them all, okay? Now, number four in our preparation for the second coming, our preparation for when Jesus is coming, which we have no idea when that's going to be, is that you need to nurture relationship with God. Oh, when have you heard that before, huh? You need to listen to him. Yeah, well, a lot of us go around talking to God or talking at God, but we got to listen to him as well. You know, Jesus said in the scripture that we can interpret the weather by looking at the sky, right? That's easy. But you know what? You have to actually look at the sky. You have to actually get, you know, look outside. Oh, sun's out. Okay. Yeah, it's easy if you'll do it. Okay. And so we can interpret the times, but we have to actually look at Jesus to know what's going on. And that's what he's saying to us in all that weather prophecy that he was talking about, the weather. And we have to listen to him through the Bible as we read through it on our own devotions, and through the Holy Spirit as we allow him to have our minds, our thoughts, our souls, our lives. And he will speak to us. the Holy Spirit will speak to each of us because we have been baptized and He is inside of us. But listening to the Holy Spirit in this world takes some practice. It takes some time. It takes a little bit of repetition to get there, to be able to hear Him in order that you may be prepared. Because He may send out one of those, you know, alerts. It's not going to be an amber alert when it comes. And it's not going to be on your phone, but you're going to know. But you have to be ready for that. So that's number four. You have to nurture relationship with God. And then finally, number five, the last one you got to do is put on love. You've got to love people. What Paul was talking about here today, he says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Which I'll tell you, a little secret, it's love. The armor of light is love. Okay? You know, we've had teachings over the years about the armor of God, and you know all that from the book of Ephesians. But in verse 13 of Romans, he says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Putting on our Christian armor is love and loving people and loving God. Oh, yeah. So that's it. If you wrap up all that armor together, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel of peace on your feet, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, all of it adds up to love. So that's the last thing you have to do. And the reason that it's last is because you have to get rid of all the sin first. If you really want to love the way Jesus does, then He's going to have to love through you. And He's not going to do that if you have sin in your life. So you got to get rid of that all the time. All the time. That's the armor of light, love. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked to you about the armor, and I said sometimes you're not using it every day. Well, it may not feel like you're using it, but I'll bet you are. And then sometimes we really feel like we're using it. But in those slow times, we said that the armor sometimes can get heavy, you know. But when we're not really, you know, wielding that sword around all the time, you'd better keep it clean and shiny and ready for when you do need it. David and Mac, is that true? Do soldiers try to keep their weapons clean when they're not using them? I couldn't imagine such a thing. In fact, don't good platoon sergeants probably make you clean your weapon more when there's nothing to do? That way, neither the soldiers nor the weapons get rusty. Because you may need it at a moment's notice. That's why you heard about the 10 bridesmaids. You remember that parable that Jesus had, that they were waiting for the groom to come, you know, and I think five of them were ready because they had their, you know, lamps ready, and the others, you know, fell asleep, and so they weren't. Once He came, it was too late. There was no time to go out into the market and get more. You have to be ready. You have to stay on top of it. You have to love God, love one another. And here's the last one. You have to love yourself. Ooh, that one's kind of hard. But it shouldn't be. Love relates to forgiveness. And again, you have to forgive God. You have to forgive one another. You have to forgive yourself. That's all part of love. But it's another sermon, so we'll move on. That one could go on for days, talking about forgiveness, right? You see, the days are evil. You look around, you know, you hear the news, whatever you want. And we see and we believe that there's more darkness than ever. And we believe that by interpreting these times, Jesus may be coming soon. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But we better be ready. I mean, it seems like it, doesn't it? So you'd better be personally prepared for His coming again. And there's no better time now than now to do that. First of all, you check yourself for sin. Have you sinned? You know, is there something that you weren't aware of that you did do? Then when you find it, confess your sins. Often. And then do it from the last time that you did it to present. You need to listen to God. Not just talk to Him, but listen as well. Often. And finally, you have to love God. You have to love others. And you have to love yourself. And do it in that order. Getting rid of the sin first. So we're back there in the theater called Judgment Day. And the lights go down. The soundtrack begins. The music done by Bernard, who was it? Herman. Konyo starts coming to a crescendo, you know, and it's wonderful. And then you hear Alexander Scorby's voice begin. He's the narrator. And he says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn." And the life of Jesus begins to play on the screen. And all of your sins were washed away. And your life is his life, because you were hidden in Christ when you accepted him. And so all of that stuff that you were afraid of is done away with in the blood of Jesus, you see. And since the days are short, we need to be about the job of loving people, of loving God, and of loving ourselves. Charles Spurgeon said, "We must cast off before we can put on. The rags of sin must come off if we are to put on the robe of Christ. There must be a taking away of the love of sin. There must be a renouncing of the practices and habits of sin, or else a man cannot be a Christian. It will be an idle attempt to try and wear religion as a sort of celestial overall over top of the old sins." That's why I read all that, just to get to that part, the celestial overall. Isn't that funny? Yeah. But it says a lot. We have to cast off before we can put on, okay? And so there needs to be an end to sin in our lives individually, an examination of ourselves for sin, a confession, a dialogue with God, back and forth, and putting on of love. Those things, but we'll get you there. That's how we get ready for this second coming that I was talking about, for this judgment day, okay? And all the other people are sitting in the theater as well. They're going to be there. They're waiting for their lives to be shown up on the screen. Will it be their lives or Jesus' life that shows? Because if it's not, they will be shown the fire exit. Because no life measures up to Jesus. And that's our second job there, which again is another sermon. Jesus said, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." Jesus clearly told his disciples there specifically that you alone must be ready also, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Okay? And this is the way to be ready that I've just shared with you. Those five things. Stop sinning. Examine yourself for sin. Confess your sin. Talk to God. And love. Amen.